Thank you for joining us for the True Life Fellowship Church podcast. Here is today's message from Pastor Devon Alexander.
Open your Bibles to John chapter 10 and meet me at verse 10. John chapter 10 and verse 10. These are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says to us, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." Now, I want you to read this verse with me out loud. Ready? Read. The thief Okay, let's stop because that sounds terrible how you're reading this, okay? I want you to act like you are yelling at your children. I want you to act like you at a ball game. I want you to act like you at a concert, all right? Ready? Read.
The thief does not come except to steal and kill
and to destroy.
I have come that they may have life and that they may have it
more abundantly. Glory to God. Now that was much better. You see the difference in that? Y'all sounded terrible reading that the first time. But glory be to God, you got it right the second time. There's always grace. Thank you, Jesus. The thief is the enemy. And specifically in this passage of scripture, the thief are false teachers that will try to sway the people against Jesus being the Christ, the Son of the living God. But even though the false teachers are considered the thief in this passage, they are motivated by Satan himself. Satan himself has always come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus came to give us life and to give us life more abundantly. July 24th, 2011, we started True Life Fellowship Church almost 13 years ago, and we started with nothing at all. We got going. We didn't have equipment. These chairs that you're sitting in, we didn't have. We didn't have sound. We didn't have anointed musicians and singers. We didn't even have a microphone. We had absolutely nothing at all except a handful of people and a word from God. And this was the word God gave me, was John chapter 10, verse 10. He said to me, "There are people that are not living the abundant life that I want them to live. They're waiting to get to heaven to experience it, but they can have days of heaven on the earth. They can experience abundant life in the here and the now. But what has happened is through the false teaching or due through tradition or due through the enemy, they have been stolen and robbed of the fact that they can experience life here on the earth." And Jesus said, "I came so that they may have life or continue to possess life." That word life is the word zoe in the Greek, which simply means the God kind of life. And so Jesus wants us to have the God kind of life right here on the earth and not just experience that life, but to have it more abundantly. That means that the life we're supposed to experience should be in excess. It should be a surplus. It should be overflow. It should be more than enough life that we experience here on the earth. We should be enjoying life. We should be having fun, and we should be experiencing the life that Jesus intends for us to have. It's the abundant life. So Jesus came to give. This is what he came to do. He just said he didn't want nothing. He came to give life. He came so that you can experience true life. He came so that you can have vitality and energy, so that you can have purpose and passion. He came so that you can realize and understand that there can be joy and there can be peace and there can be patience occurring in your life and goodness and long suffering and gentleness and self-control. Jesus wants you to have the God kind of life right here on the earth. You should be having more than enough. And this is the will of God. And the reason why you're not experiencing life to the level that Jesus wants you to experience is because some way and somehow the thief has been stealing it from you. Some way, somehow, the thief has been killing, and some way, somehow, the thief has been destroying. And the thief, we said this last week, and it bears witness to say again, it's interesting that Jesus didn't call Satan a robber, because a robber would be someone that gets up in your face, clocks you over the head with something, and takes what you have, and then runs off. He called him a thief because a thief is someone that will steal from you in secrecy. You don't know it has been taken. A thief is someone that will pickpocket you. A thief is someone that will use trickery and deceit to take from you. And so Jesus called him a thief because he wants to steal from you and you not even know that it has been taken from you. How many of you know that when your personality changes and people are asking, why are you acting that way? The thief all day long has been stealing from you and you didn't even know it. And now you didn't cuss somebody out and you don't even cuss. That's the thief. Stealing your joy, your peace, your patience, your kindness, your goodness. He's stealing it from you. You don't even realize. And at the end of the day, you're yelling at your husband. At the end of the day, you're overacting with your kids. The thief has been taking from you all day long. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to utterly take from you what Jesus has already provided for you. I need for you to hear this. A thief cannot steal my Lamborghini. You know why? Because I don't own a Lamborghini. Okay? So a thief is not going to attempt to steal something from you that you don't possess. So Jesus has already given you everything that pertains to life and godliness, everything you need to enjoy life, everything you need to have a surplus, everything you need to operate in overflow. And the thief says, this is what I want to do. I want to steal it from them. I want to take it from them, and I want to take it so fast that they don't even know that they no longer possess this abundant life that Jesus came to give us. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, the thief also wants to kill. And what does that mean? Yes, he wants to take your life, and yes, he wants to eliminate you. But more importantly, what he wants to do is he wants you to sacrifice the dreams and the visions that God has given you, the purpose, the plan. He wants you to give it up. He wants you to sacrifice it. He wants you to say, that's no longer going to happen in my life. He wants you to consider that God's promise will not come true. He wants you to consider that what God has told you is a lie and it will not happen. He wants you to kill everything that you think God has revealed to you. He wants you to kill it. He can't get you to kill it by yourself. He's got to convince you to kill all of the dreams and all of the vision and all of the goals and all of the things the Lord has given you. You know, your children are never going to come to the Lord. Your grandchildren, they're going to always run away. Kill them. Stop praying for them. It's not going to happen. This is what the thief wants. Stop believing God for that. It's not going to happen. You've been believing for healing. Stop believing for healing. It's not going to happen. Matter of fact, the thief will tell you, God wants you sick. The thief will tell you, Jesus wants you sick. Now, the thief can't show you any verse in scripture where Jesus gave anybody sickness. Not one verse in scripture did Jesus give anybody sickness, but the thief will convince you, no, this is the will of God for you to be sick. This is how he does it. He steals and he kills. He causes you to want to give up the thing that God has placed on the inside of you. And ultimately, the thief wants to destroy you. He wants to annihilate you so bad that you can never come back together. He wants to destroy your relationships. He wants to destroy your mindset. He wants to destroy your confidence. He wants to destroy your mental well-being. He wants to destroy your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. He's trying to destroy your marriage. He's trying to destroy your relationship with your parents or your children. He is in the business of destroying. And this is what he wants to do. He wants to destroy you. But I need for you to know this, because today we're going to expose the devil. That's the title of this message. We're going to expose the devil. Today, I need for you to know that the only weapon he has is suggestion. That's the only weapon he has. He wants to give you an idea planted on the inside of your thinking that will cause you to change your mindset and alter your behavior. His only weapon is suggestion. What if is his favorite question. What if that doesn't happen? What if you don't get what God said you're going to get? What if the word doesn't work? What if you don't receive that healing? What if your children don't ever come to the Lord? What if you don't ever get out of debt? What if? What if? These are suggestions, and what he wants you to do is take them and consider them. Start considering, well, William, what if? Well, what if? Well, yeah, what if that doesn't happen? What if? What if? And then he gets you into fear, anxiety. The what if will start with fear and anxiety, and now you're running over into, well, maybe God's promises aren't true. Maybe God won't take care of us. Maybe his word will fail. Maybe I won't get to the place that God has called for me. Maybe I've been just spinning my wheels and wasting my time. Maybe I just need to quit. Maybe I need to take my life. Maybe no one loves me. Maybe no one cares about me. This is all from the thief implanting a suggestion, causing you to consider it, and then getting you altered, your behavior altered, and your mindset changed to now you don't even believe the word of God. And I need to submit something to you. You are only about 3 months away from denying the word of God if you don't continue to spend time with God. The thief is trying to steal, kill, and destroy. And one of the names that we have for the thief is the word devil. Matter of fact, go to 1 Peter chapter 5 and meet me at verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Peter tells us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, somebody say the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, I want to talk about this for a second. It says there, Peter tells us, we're going to have to be clear-minded. We're going to have to be even keel and balanced, because there's an adversary, there's an opponent, there's an enemy who is walking around like a roaring lion. He's the devil. Now, that word devil is not a name. Devil is a function. It's a title. And when you look up the word devil, what you will discover is the function of devil means to strike, 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 until he knocks you out. So he's going to come. His function is to suggest, to suggest, to suggest, to suggest, to suggest, to suggest, until you take the suggestion and then you agree with him, and then he can steal, kill, and destroy. So he is not giving up the striking. And what I've noticed over the last, this year, Don, I've noticed this in 2024 for some particular reason. I've noticed that there have been more offense happening in people than I've ever considered before. That people are literally taking things the wrong way. People are hearing what they want to hear. People are meditating on lies. People are not considering the source. They're just hearing what the devil told them, and then what they're doing is taking it, and they're getting offended, and relationships are being destroyed simply because the enemy is out and about, and he is striking, and he's striking, and he's striking, and he's striking, and he's striking, and trying to get you to take this suggestion. And when I say consider the source, I'm talking about like even in, I talk to people that are having marital issues and they've been married for a long time. And now my wife is so mean to me and she says mean things to me Do you think your wife woke up and said, I just want to be mean? I want to be so mean to my husband. I want to hurt his feelings. I want to take him out today. No, it's the enemy that is suggesting that these words that are being said are vicious and mean, and you are receiving it, and what he wants to do is destroy that marriage. Or the other side. We think so highly of ourselves. Well, I am this, or I am that, or you know, I am the pastor, or I am the husband, I am the mother, and we think so highly of ourselves. And when someone tries to talk to us, I am the pastor, you don't talk to me. I'm the father, you don't talk to me like that. No, 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 no. That's the enemy coming in with pride. And someone saying, actually, you've hurt me. I'm the father. You don't talk to me that way. I am the father. No, listen to what they're saying so that you can have reconciliation and restoration. If you don't, the enemy will be successful in destroying that relationship. I'm seeing it time and time again. I'm seeing a lot with daughters and mothers, sons and mothers, fathers. I'm seeing a lot of contention between here because one person, I am the father, I am the mother, and I don't listen to the hurt that I've caused you, and the enemy's coming in, separating the relationship. I've seen it happening right now, even in churches. You know, I talk to a lot of pastors, people being with people for long periods of time, but then get offended. What you get offended about? They don't even know. And that is another suggestion that the enemy has, is to get you to be offended, to get you to get so hurt that you cut off the plan and the purpose that God has for your life. All of this is the enemy. All of this is the thief. All of this is his way of killing, stealing, and destroying. And if we don't recognize him, he will be successful in all of his endeavors. You know, he'll get you to the point where you are isolated and you're alone. You've cut off your church family. You've cut off your mother and father. You've cut off your son and daughter. You've cut off your best friend. And you've cut these people off. And you get so isolated and you get so alone. And then Peter compares the devil to a lion. Now, when I was a child, I loved doing studies on lions. I thought they were just, you know, the best. King of the jungle. They were just marvelous. I liked lions. Till you start doing a little research on these lions. And they're not as tough as you would think they are. Matter of fact, lions, as when they're seeking whom they may devour, they're not looking for strong people. They're looking for the weak. They're looking for the maimed. They're looking for the young. They're looking for the immature. Watch this. They're looking for the isolated. Which one is by himself? And so while the enemy has done a job of cutting you off from your church, cutting you off from your best friend, cutting you off from whoever God has connected you with because of offense, because of suggestion, because of thought, then what he has done is gotten you isolated. And then the lion, the devil, is looking. That's who I'm looking for. We watched the National Geographic recently. I think it was actually, I say recently, it was during COVID, but that feels recent, doesn't it? during COVID. And man, if when they ran, when the prey ran as a pack, the lions didn't mess with them. They were looking for the one that was hanging out in the back. They just waited, let the pack go, who in the back? And so the prey gets very wise. They start putting the weak in the middle, so they could protect the weak. And if they saw weak, the lion would try to break the pack to go out the weak. But even zebras and weak, you know, animals that can't really defend themselves, they were still trying to defend themselves. And the lion wasn't messing with them. He want the weak one. He want the isolated one, the one limping, the one moving slow. That's the one the devil is after. He's seeking the weak. He's seeking the isolated. He's seeking the one that's easily offended. He's seeking the one that's always upset. He's seeking the one that's always mad. He's seeking the one that's always taking his suggestions. That's the one he's after. And he's looking. He's like, I've got to get that one because I'm hungry. Somebody say hungry. You know, I just heard this in my heart. Somebody say, I'm sorry. Say it again. I'm sorry. Say, I apologize. These are words that we have a hard time saying. Say it again. I apologize. When was the last time you said that? Don't answer. I know it's been a long time. Because you don't do nothing wrong. Right? It's everybody else's fault. I'm Devon. And I do no wrong. That's how you feel, right? Say, I apologize. See, some of y'all didn't even say it. Because you can't have a hard, you're having a hard time. Your lips can't even form to even say, I apologize. Let's do it again. I apologize. See how I got louder? Say, I was right. The people wasn't saying it the last time. We can't even do it. And those two words together can kick the devil completely out of a relationship. Just put them together and mean it, the devil will flee. I didn't plan on talking about that, but that's by the Spirit of God. The devil will flee if you just simply say, I apologize. Now, if someone's trying to force you to apologize, that's called manipulation. And you don't bow your knee to that sort of manipulation. We had a situation here. Nope, I'm going to move on. Thank you, Jesus. All right, so the devil is coming to strike and to strike and to strike. And scripture says he's like a lion. So the first thing the lion does is he's looking for the weakest prey. The interesting thing that the lion also does is the lion only hunts at night. Now, there occasionally he will in the day, but for the most part, the lion's trying to hunt at night. Why is he trying to hunt at night? Because he wants to sneak up. He wants to stalk. He wants to come up on you. You can't see him. And have you realized this, that your mind, for the most part, your mind gets bombarded at night? Have you noticed you're trying to lay down and go to sleep, and they're striking and striking? Striking and striking and striking right there at night because the lion is hunting at night. He wants to strike and 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 to get you to the place where you're just, I'm a nobody. I'm so terrible. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take my life. We're seeing millionaires commit suicide. People that have no reason to commit suicide, we're seeing it happen because the enemy is striking and he's striking at night. So that should tell you something. That should tell you that I need to be strong at night. Well, how can you be strong at night? Before you go to bed, I need to be reading my word, reminding myself what the word of God says. I need to be playing some worship music. Some you can play my teaching before you go to bed. We offer it to you free of charge. Teaching right at night, just playing it before you go to sleep. I need to have some scriptures being played at night. I need to pray in the spirit to guard my mind. The Lord said he's going to give me sweet, sweet sleep. And I'm going to sleep well tonight. And I am not going to allow the enemy to strike, strike, and strike. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Another thing the enemy will do. So not only does he stalk the weak, he's looking for the weak, the isolated, and not only is he looking to strike you at night, but the lion is willing to wait. He's willing to wait on you. And one of the ways that he waits as he's stalking is he's listening. So at night, he doesn't see as well. It's not like he has better eyesight. He's listening. He's listening. What are you saying? And he's and when you say things like, I hate him, that's what I'm coming. I'm coming. That's what I've been waiting for. When you say things like, I'm gonna kill him, that's he's coming. That's what I've been looking for. I'm coming to that. I'm a nobody. He's coming. I'm useless. That's where I'm going. Nobody loves me. That's where he's going. He's listening to what you're saying because he wants you to agree with him. And if you'll agree with him, he can send the knockout blow. And the knockout blow will get you so disarrayed that you may not ever come back together again. If it wasn't for the grace and mercy of God, you would be completely separated from him. He's listening to your words. What are you saying out of your mouth? What is you continuously speaking out of your mouth? He's listening because what he wants to do is he wants to take you out. We're going to expose him today. This is why we don't say what we feel, we say what we believe. Did you hear what I said? I don't say what I feel, I say what I believe. So for example, if I'm really, really tired, the word says that let the weak say what? So I don't say I'm tired, I'm so tired. I start saying what I believe. The word says I'm strong. How you doing, Devon? I'm strong. Oh, you're strong. I'm strong. I'm saying what I believe. You are not. Listen, Jesus came to give you life and life more abundantly. You're not the tired trying to get energy. You're the energetic resisting fatigue. You listen to me. You're not the sick trying to get healed. Remember, Jesus gave you healing. The enemy's coming to steal your healing, right? So you are the healed resisting sickness. Are you listening to me today? You are not the poor, broke, busted, and disgusted trying to get a little extra money. Won't you help me, somebody? Come on, somebody. Won't you help me? Let me hold something. Let me hold something. Won't you help me? That's not you. You are the rich resisting lack. I'm trying to tell you who you are. Jesus came to give it to you. You got it. The enemy's trying to say, what is he? If you're broke, what is he trying to steal? Nothing. You have something of value. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Godhead resides on the inside of you and all of his benefits. And the enemy is trying to take it from you. And so you have to know your position. I am not sick trying to get healed. This is what I do when sickness tries to attack my body. I get into fight mode. And what am I fighting? I'm fighting the sickness. So I'm not, Lord, I need your healing. No, I'm the opposite. Sickness, flee. I have his healing. Sickness, you go. When there's lack and I need additional resources and funds, I don't say, well, you know, God, come on, get it to me, please, please, please. I said, no, lack, you must go. Lack, you got to get out of here because all, when you get out of here, all that's left is abundance. Come on, somebody say amen. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen today. Somebody say Jesus.
Jesus.
All right, now watch this. I want to show you one other thing here. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9. Look at verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9. Resist him. Now remember, you know what, guys, let's go to verse 8. I want to read it in unison. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now verse 9. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So we are to resist him. We're not to allow him to devour us. We are to resist him. And I am convinced that most believers, I got to say it like I wrote it down. I heard the Lord say this to me, and I want to say it like I wrote it down. Watch this. I heard the Lord say this to my heart. He said, Devon, the devil is more committed to attack than most of us are to withstand him. The devil is more committed to attack than we are to resist him. We just let him do it. And then when we let him do it, we say, this is what God wants. This is the trickery. This is not what God wants. God told you in his word what he wants. It's the devil. And we're gonna have to resist him. So that means we have to be ready to fight. Are you ready to fight?
Yeah.
Let me say it again. Are you ready to fight?
Yeah.
You got to be ready to fight. We are in the army of the Lord.
Amen.
We are in the kingdom of God. We're warriors. That's why we have equipment. We're warriors. We're fighters. And this defeated foe is trying to steal from us, and we got to be ready to fight. When sickness tries to attack my family, we don't patty cake it. Oh, you know, it's just going around, you know. Hey, everybody, look, yeah, we got it too. Yeah, it's just going. We don't do that. We say, stomach bug, you leave our children in the name of Jesus. Flu, you got to go in the name of Jesus. And obviously, it might be going around, but it can't stay here. I'm ready to fight. Are you ready to fight? You got to get in a fight mode. Devil, you're not going to steal that relationship that I have with that person. There's a particular relationship that I have with someone, and I know God put us together. And over the last few weeks, the devil's trying to steal the relationship. Coming in with all type of stuff and misunderstanding and chaos and confusion. That's the devil.
Amen.
And I'm going to fight for that relationship. In Jesus' name. And so we're gonna have to start resisting him. And number one, you're going to have to guard your mind. You're going to have to monitor what goes in. Did you hear me? Guard your mind. So you're going to have to listen to what you're listening to. You're going to have to consider, what am I allowing on the inside of me? There was a particular, we received... a letter in the mail. There were three letters in one envelope. So the envelope, it was a regular envelope. The envelope was bulging out. I was like, what is this? I opened it up. I read the first paragraph, and the Spirit of God said, don't read anymore. I didn't read anymore. I gave it to someone else. They read it. There were three letters that hated our ministry. They hated me. They hated our ministry. They one of them didn't even come, had never even been to the church. And they hate it. And I said, I didn't read it. Someone else read it. And they said, I'm not even going to tell you what was in it. It was just foul, filthy, wickedness, bad, evil letters that came. They hated us, hated what we're doing, hated me, hated you, hated everything that we're doing. Right? I didn't read that mess because I'm guarding my mind. And my flesh said, you need to read it and you need to retaliate. I wanted to in the flesh. But my spirit man said, don't read that mess.
Right.
You know what we did with that thing? It went straight in the shredder. It said, zoop. And they think I read it. I didn't read that. I didn't read it. I'm guarding my mind. Because what happened is, I read that, then I would have got distracted. And now instead of ministering to you, I'm fighting some folks over here, and then I'm getting up here fighting them while I'm preaching to you. And you're like, why are you yelling at me? Because I let something in. Somebody say, guard your heart. Guard your mind. Say that. Some things you just don't need to let in. Some stuff you say, you know, we're not going to watch tonight. The news come on, and I'm not watching that tonight. I'm not going to read that tonight. I'm not going to listen to that tonight because I've got to guard my heart. I've already got so much going on. I don't need this distraction. And this is what Stacy and I were talking about. In 2024, I feel like, if I could be as transparent with you as I can, this has been the best year of my life so far. It has been a wonderful start. God has been good. We've seen more increase. We've seen prayers answered. We've seen promises delivered. And at the very same time, this has been one of the worst years of my life. At the very same time, more opposition, more hatred, more misunderstanding, more confusion, more distraction, all happening at the same time. And I started to say, I've got to limit the distractions, and I've got to focus on what God is doing. And everything else is to get me distracted. Come on, somebody, say amen.
Amen.
So you're going to have to guard your mind. You're going to have to guard your heart. Number two, you're going to have to stop listening to the lies of the enemy. You're just going to have to stop. Well, you know, the enemy tells you, you shouldn't have married that person. What, you're going to have to stop that because you did marry that person. It's over now. Did you hear me? You did. Okay, move on. All right, now we talk about something else. That's done with. Okay, you agreed. Let's move on to something else. You can't, that's the lies of the enemy. The enemy will come in and start telling you lies. You're going to have to stop listening to the lies. Number three, what you're going to have to do is stop believing the lies. You're going to have to stop believing it. What he does is he strikes, 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 and strikes. We listen, and we keep listening, listening, listening. At some point, we need to stop listening, but we keep listening, and then we start believing it. Well, just maybe I shouldn't have married that person. You know, I believe I shouldn't have married. Let me go on out and find me another husband because I shouldn't have married them. That's how adultery happens. Y'all got quiet on me, but I'm telling you. It starts out with a little suggestion and a thought, and then we begin to, your wife don't like you. Your kids don't like you. They don't like me, huh? No, they don't like you. Your grandchildren, they don't like you at all. You know what? They don't like me. Yeah, they don't. You know what? I'm done with them. I'm done. I'm done with everybody. I'm done. And then Satan says, yes. You get a big old smile. He says, that's who I'm looking for. Thank you. Because you're isolated now. You're by yourself. And I'm coming to destroy your life. Number four, we're going to have to use the word of God as the sword of the spirit against his mental attacks. So number one, we've got to guard our mind. Stop listening to his lies. Number two, stop believing his lies. Number three, number four, use the word of God as the sword of the spirit. And this is how you do it. You cannot think and talk at the same time. All right. So let me, I'm gonna show you an example right now. I want you to consider a brown dog with lots of fur and nails. Shout your name. Now, what happened to the thought? It stopped. You stopped thinking about the dog. You start listening to what I said, and then you said what I told you to say. When you open up your mouth, your thoughts will stop. And your mind is listening for what your mouth is saying. And so when you are getting bombarded with satanic and demonic thoughts, start talking. This is what I start doing. If the thoughts are, I'm not going to accomplish whatever it is God set for me to accomplish, I just start saying, my Father loves me. My Father loves me. I am so loved by my Father. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. And I just keep saying that over and over. He just loves me. I am so loved by my Father. My Heavenly Father loves me. Oh, he's thinking about me. He loves me. He loves me. He's got good plans for me. He loves me. All those thoughts of negativity, failure, they just leave. They completely disappear because I am now speaking the word of God and I'm fighting the enemy with the sword of the spirit, and he is taking knockout blows. And I get done with that. It don't take long, 4, 5, 6 minutes. I'm feeling good. And then he tries to strike again, and I go back to it. Well, I am so loved by God. He loves me. Oh, he loves me. I don't sit there and just fight thoughts. You can't fight thoughts with thoughts. Where here's a bad thought. Something's going to happen to your kid at school. And here you say a good thought. No, it's not going to happen to him. No, you're going to have to open up your mouth. When I drop my kids off at school, a thought comes. Something may happen in a day. And you know what I say? In the name of Jesus, this place is protected by the blood of Jesus. The presence of God is here. His angels are here. I plead the blood here. I'm here, and my kids are here, and nothing shall happen to my children. This is what you got to do. And I drive off smiling after I drop them off. You know what I'm talking about? You're releasing your faith. You are getting a hold and ahead of what the enemy is suggesting, and you are utilizing your authority, releasing your faith, and trusting God to do what he says that he's going to do. Listen, James chapter 4, verse 7, and I'll end here, Zavin. James chapter 4, verse 7, it says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And that word flee doesn't mean kind of turn around and kind of walk slowly. That means he will tuck tail and take off running as fast as he can. You just got to resist him. You got to know who you are and say this out to me. I ain't scared of the devil. I know that may not be good English, but that's how you got to talk. I ain't scared of the devil. If you're not scared of the devil, stand to your feet. This is how you experience true life.
You have been listening to the ministry of Devon Alexander, pastor of True Life Fellowship Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more information, go to our website at www.truelifefc.org. You can also support this ministry financially through our website. Thank you, and remember to love, learn, live, and lead.